Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
But jokes aside, I want to be real for a second. No making fun, no being a jackass, no mocking. The New York Knicks are really good. And I think we knew that coming into the season, but I think sometimes you need to sit back and watch them. And they have now played 25 or 26 games, however you want to define it. They are 18-7. They won the NBA Cup last night in impressive fashion against a really deep, good young team in the San Antonio Spurs. And I can say this. The New York Knicks legitimately can win an NBA championship. And I don't think I would have said that a year and a half ago for a myriad of reasons. But I firmly say that today. And I feel even more reinforced today than I did 3 months ago that they are the best team in the Eastern Conference. And I think they're the best team in the Eastern Conference by a lot. And I think they're that for a myriad of reasons. Their ability to destroy you on the offensive glass has no bounds. The San Antonio Spurs are the best defensive rebounding team in the league. Did that matter last night? This head coach has shown you something Tom Thibodeau would never do. If Tyler Kolek is playing well, he's going to ride him. If Jordan Clarkson is playing well, he's going to ride him. Mitchell Robinson, same thing. But ultimately, and this can't necessarily be defined by a stat, but you can know it by the eye test. Jalen Brunson's better today than he even was a year ago.
Yes.
And when you put it all together in one tight bowl, we could debate the cup and the banners and all the distractions. But here are the facts, and Tommy knows this. This is coming from someone who is pained to admit it. The New York Knicks legitimately win an NBA championship. And if you didn't think it 3 months ago, it's about time you acknowledge it.
Yeah, look, you said the word, they're a good team. They're the best team in the East. I think above anything else, what you highlighted there is so true and was really paramount last night in a game that ended up being a lot of fun and a game that you could tell meant a lot in terms of the competitive sweepstakes. But, like, they're a much better version, not just a better version than the last couple of years. And I think last night was a reminder. The Knicks actually had a really good offseason, starting with bringing Mike Brown in for all those reasons you said. He will ride the hot hands. Jordan Clarkson is a difference maker off the bench. Kolek, as you mentioned, and whoever the hot hand is, they're going to play. And look, when you look at the Knicks teams and how they ended up having that war of attrition catch up with them the last couple of years, it also was a matter of a team game planning in a 7-game series and saying, we know they're basically going to play 6 guys at us. How do we match up with them? And now the constant minutes and the different waves in which they throw guys at you keeps guys like Jalen Brunson at times a little fresher too. They are just molded in a much different way, in a much deeper way. And that is the kind of basketball team, when you look at the way the Thunder play with how deep their bench is, that will allow you to get through these rounds in the postseason without feeling like you're hampered by an injury or feeling like you're going to run guys into the ground. And I think that was the biggest difference last night, as everybody really, really was locked in on the Knicks and paying attention to the difference in this roster and the difference in Mike Brown, and it's paramount.
Do you think Tom Thibodeau plays Tyler Kolek big minutes in the fourth quarter?
No.
And I don't mean to knock Tom Thibodeau, but we are seeing the differences,
yeah,
and we're seeing why this move needed to be made. And here's the other thing, and it's very funny that we're having this discussion, because I remember back in March when talking about the Yankees, I would say to Sean over and over again, listen, you guys are as good as any team in the American League. And you would take it as a demeaning of the league, in which I said, well, look at everybody else. It's about your competition. And you would always bring up the Dodgers. And I would tell you, don't worry about the Dodgers. If you can get to a World Series, the Dodgers could be picked off. They may be hit by injuries. You don't know. You just have to worry about your league. The reason I bring that up is for all the Knicks fans out there who say, Evan, those are nice things that you're saying, but the Thunder, the Thunder. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs and any Western Conference team you want to bring up, but obviously it's the Thunder. They don't mean anything right now. It right. is about getting out of the East and reevaluating things in June.
Right.
And giving yourself the chance, the puncher's chance, yes, against a team in Oklahoma City that is better than the New York Knicks. And quite frankly, that is the only team in the NBA I can definitively tell you is better than the New York Knicks. The Thunder. That's it. That's the list. We can debate Denver. We can debate San Antonio, who's only getting better and better. But that's it.
So you're right.
I feel similar to what we talked about with the Yankees, and we'll get into the competition in the Eastern Conference because this is a big part of it. Just get to the finals and take your puncher's chance against, yes, an Oklahoma City team that may be historic. But outside of that, I ain't scared if I'm a Knicks fan of any of these other teams. Yeah. You've got the star power. You have the bench. You have now the experienced head coach who's been there before.
Yeah.
Like, forget banners and cups. Forget it. It's all a distraction from the reality. This team legitimately going to an NBA championship.
And resiliency. When you see what Wembanyama's doing to them last night, and just, I mean, that game could have escaped from them at that end of that third quarter. It never did.
Dude, I thought it could have escaped them the first three quarters of the game. There were moments watching this game where I thought the Knicks should have been down by 15.
Yeah.
And they hung in there. And that's kind of the trick. Like, hang in there, and then in the fourth quarter, go to work, which is exactly what they did.
Absolutely. And that was huge for them. But look, if you're worried about what I worried about with the Yankees and Dodgers, I do think the sport is a little different. Just ask Toronto Raptor fans what they would have said about this time that year when thinking about the Golden State Warriors and a dream of winning a finals. How'd that work out?
Well, it was an injury.
That's it.
No, and I get that. And also, and I want to explain this to Jalen Brunson, because I love Jalen Brunson. I respect Jalen Brunson. I don't know if I love him. You know what I mean? And when I say to you into a microphone, and Tommy, be the guinea pig over here, because I know that Sean had an issue with it last year. If I look into your eyes and say, hey, I think the Knicks are the best team in the Eastern Conference, because quite frankly, I don't think the Eastern Conference is that good. Are you offended by that comment?
Nope. Not at all.
Good. You shouldn't be.
A, it's a fact. And B, I don't care what the competition is. All I care about is the facts, and that is that the Knicks are the best team in the East.
I think you have a very healthy attitude. And I want to make this clear, because when it comes from me, it sounds like I'm demeaning. I am not. The Eastern Conference is not that good. And yes, does that help the Knicks in being far and away the best team in the East? Absolutely. I could also tell you from experience that my only experience of seeing my team in the NBA Finals came from an Eastern Conference that was quite frankly worse than the Eastern Conference you're even in right now. Yeah. And I have no regrets. Zero. Okay? So saying that is not an insult. But I want you to listen to Jalen Brunson, because Jalen Brunson kind of disagrees with Tommy. He was a little offended by the fact that people continue to say the Eastern Conference is wide open, and he takes issue with it. Here is the King of New York, because he does have a championship, unlike the other one. Here is the King of New York, Jalen Brunson, reacting, kind of upset a little bit at the rhetoric that the East is wide open.
Yeah, the conversation about the East being wide open, I'm not a fan of that. I think there's too many great teams, great players, regardless of who's out, that are still competing. And so you don't take anyone lightly. You don't take anyone for granted. You go out there and do what you got to do every single night. And so the East is it's a lot better than people think, and it's a grind every night.
So there's a couple things there. A few things I agree with Jalen about. One thing I don't. Number one, when he says the East isn't wide open, he's right. You're clearly the favorites. So I'm going to put you guys over. But it's not a great conference. And I don't know if that's a competitive thing, like where you have to remind everyone, no, man, it's better than people think. But dude,
that's a different saying. It is better than people think, but it doesn't make it a great conference.
But it's not better than people think. It's not that good, and that's okay. Like, I don't understand why this has to be an offensive thing. Like, the Detroit Pistons are 21-5. Right. I don't ignore their record. They are not that good, quite frankly. Okay. They're not as good as the Knicks. I'm sorry.
But where we were in August, September, when training camps were opening, we thought this was the Knicks, the Cavs, and nobody else. Now, I still think it pretty much is that, but you have to give credit to a team like the Pistons. Like, that does extend the conference a little bit.
If you want to give them credit, I give them credit for being 21-5, but if you want to overrate them being 21-5, does that mean you're going to underrate Cleveland being 15-12?
Well, I guess the difference
is Cleveland's clearly better than that.
Evan, this isn't going to be the Kansas City Royals in the wild card round, is my point. This is going to be, I think there will be some grind series for the Knicks. That ultimately, they will be the better team and win.
Well, I think the Pistons are the kind of team that'll punch you in the face, but if things align the way they are lit right now, with Detroit being the one and Knicks being the two, I'd actually put a couple of shekels that you'll never see the Pistons, that they'll probably get beat either in the first or second round because things can happen along the way. But look at the rest of this conference. Like, I like Toronto. I think Orlando is growing. Boston is still without Jason Tatum. Yes, the Sixers are getting glimpses of their old veterans looking like stars, but it's not that good of a conference. So I don't know if that's Jalen Brunson trying to build up the competition the way Lou Holtz would when he would talk about Notre Dame playing Appalachian State. But there's nothing to be offended by
when
you say the East isn't that good. And it's not wide open. The Knicks, to me, are heavy favorites. They're a lot better than any of these teams in this conference. And sure, injuries could derail it. Weird things can happen. But assuming nothing major happens, you're the team to beat. And you're battle-tested. That's the other thing. Detroit had their first battle last year. They learned from you guys. Good for them. The Magic have had some battles. Mm-hmm. But nobody is as battle-tested as the New York Knicks, as Josh Hart, as Jalen Brunson, as Karl Anthony Towns, as now Mikal Bridges. So when you factor that in too, and you factor in the experience that they have and the talent that they have, they are heavy favorites to come out of the East, and nothing that's happened over the first 25 games should change anyone's view on that.
Right. You also have a looming, does Tatum play in the playoffs with Boston? They would have that sandpaper on them too. I know that's way down
what
the road.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Sandpaper on them?
Sandpaper means like you know, you have the warts of playing in these playoff series, battle tested.
Yeah, no, I think the Celtics do, but you're still talking about someone coming off of such a major injury.
I'm just saying.
This isn't a video game where we could just assume Jason Tatum is Jason Tatum.
I understand. It's not a video game where somebody has a punctured lung and goes down forever.
Yeah, that happened in my son's NBA 2K.
That's just another lurking giant in there. I'm just showing you evidence that this conference isn't as easy as you think, but the Knicks should still prevail through it.
What would scare you the most, Tommy? And the word scare is probably not the appropriate word. What team would you look at? And again, we're 26 games into the year. We have a lot of time. You haven't even played the Pistons yet, so we're going to see it. But is there a team that you look at and say, all right, they're going to give us the most trouble?
Okay, so outside of the Knicks, I don't think there's a great team in the conference, but I do think every other team in the playoff picture right now is a good team. A lot of hard hat teams. It's the Celtics. They've lost a lot of key players, Horford, KP, Cornette, winners, so they're not as great as they once were, and we don't know what Tatum's going to be, but still playing the Boston Celtics with all that history with Tatum, with Brown, that would be the team that would give me the most, you know, sleepless nights where, oh boy, this could be a tough series. Detroit maybe second. I'm going to throw something out there, because Evan said this about the Yankees a lot with Aaron Boone. I think the Knicks have to have the one seed. I think they have to have home court throughout. So far this year, they are dynamite at home, and they've been shaky on the road.
Yeah.
Shaky. Now, maybe that's just something in these first couple of months. Maybe it doesn't carry over the whole rest of the year. Because I've talked to a lot of my friends who are like, I don't care if I'm the third seed, the fourth seed. No. I smell blood. I smell the NBA Finals. I want the one seed. I want home court throughout. The Knicks have lost one game at home all year. No matter what the scenario is, they would have home court throughout. So, to me, that's a top priority. And I think that should be the goal here, is to get the one seed.
It should definitely be the goal. Like, I'm not going to disagree with you about that. And you guys have been so good at Madison Square Garden that having that advantage going into the postseason would make you even stronger. But I don't look at it as, if they don't get it, my confidence would be hit. Because I think they've shown you, certainly in the postseason last year, they can win in your building. They can win in your building. Like, I'm not afraid of going to Detroit
or Cleveland
to win a big game five or a big game seven.
Yeah.
Like, that would not scare me. I get your point, though. Like, when push comes to shove, if you're two games back, right now they're 2.5 back of Detroit, do I want the one seed? Sure. I mean, coming to Madison Square Garden ain't easy either. But even last year, like, there's so many memories of home road meaning so little. Like, I think back to the way you guys rallied in Boston. I think back to the way the Pacers rallied on you
at Madison
Square Garden.
The Knicks were better on the road last year than they were at home. But so far this year, they've been great at home. Now, we'll see if that carries through for the rest of the season. Maybe I'll change my opinion on this if it changes. You know what I mean? It levels out. But right now, at home, they could beat anybody. On the road, they've had bad losses. They've been shaky. So I'd rather have the one seed other than the other seed.
What I really like about this team, and I use the word like in a weird way, I like as an IBO about your team, is that I feel like Jalen Brunson, every single year, like wine, is getting better and getting craftier and getting more impossible to defend.
Yeah.
It feels that way watching him every single night.
Well, that's where experience matters in big games.
Yes. And I think in Jalen's case, I think it's just going to the lab all summer. Like,
yeah.
He comes out of the lab every summer and he gets better and better. Mm-hmm. Josh Hart right now, and I know that early in this season he kind of had issues with the whole Mike Brown thing coming off the bench, buying in was tough. Right now, Josh Hart is shooting the basketball with a stupid amount of confidence.
And started the year banged up, too. He looks healthier now.
No question about that. You've also got a bench now, and we didn't even see Deuce, who's out right now, and Landry Shamet, who's out right now, but a bench that's developing before your eyes. The mix of a veteran like Jordan Clarkson and Tyler Kolek, who's getting big minutes, and I thought played his best game as a pro yesterday.
He did.
And you have a head coach that I think is adaptable to what's happening around him. And so when you just measure everything, it is December, and I always warn everyone so much can change between now and April and now and May. But sitting there last night, not knowing how I'd feel watching the NBA Cup, my biggest takeaway is not about if the trophy matters or if the banner matters. It's that this is a really freaking good basketball team. And maybe we take it for granted for the next few months because it's a long road to the postseason. But they've got all the ingredients to win an NBA championship. And that pains me to say.
Yeah.
So whether the banner and the cup and everything that comes with it matters, here's what I know. For the first time in a very long time, there's a legitimate chance that all those debates may not matter because we're sitting here in June talking about the real thing. That's my takeaway, watching even the fourth quarter of that game. Now, the Spurs aren't the Thunder, but they're stiff competition.
They are.
And the New York Knicks look like the battle-tested, more veteran team, which they are, in taking that game away in the fourth quarter, and they got a legitimate chance to win it all. Say it out loud, Sean. I've said it. The New York Knicks can win it all.
The New York Knicks can win it all.
Now, Tommy, say it with enthusiasm.
It's Knicks in 26. The Knicks are going to win it all.
I didn't say they're going to win it all. I said they could win it all.
And just one request, NBA gods. If the Knicks are going to win it all, please let that game occur during a night the Yankees don't play and we have wide open airwaves on WFAN.
Well, no, we don't want that. No, we don't want that. No.
NBA gods.
Scratch that from the record, NBA gods. We need a Yankee game. Actually, give me an 8 o'clock start time. In Minnesota. Perfect.
Now, the reason Sean brings that up is starting on January 5th, Tommy Lugauer is hosting a show here on The Fan at Nights called After Hours. And if the Knicks are playing a postseason game and the Yankees are not playing a game, he's on the radio as the Knicks are playing. I look at that as a great opportunity.
Lugie!
You get to live watch an NBA Finals game.
Tommy. Yeah. I'm going to regret doing this. If you don't once mention that this is the first time a cup has been won in New York since 1994 today, if you accept this, if the Knicks are playing for an NBA championship on an open night, I'll allow you to switch jobs with me and you can immediately take over for me the moment they end and win so you could be the first voice on after they win.
So you would switch with me and I would work the midday?
So you don't have to stress about watching that game while on the air.
Well, I'm going to be at the game. Too.
Okay.
So that will be very
as
helpful.
As long as
me.
You don't poke at the Rangers with that stupid
I would
line,
never
I would
say anything like the Knicks are the team most recently to win a cup in Madison Square Garden. I would never say anything like if you look at the teams that played the Garden who's
late.
Won a cup in the
now
last 10 years would be
it's
the Knicks.
Too late.
Which team at Madison Square Garden has won a cup in this century would be the Knicks.
You're doing the Jet Roberts when he wants money. I'm out.
I was just giving examples. So don't say any of those things.
Nope.
Okay.
Now, how big of an accomplishment it is, I guess, is up for everyone's interpretation. But they did accomplish something. Every NBA team was placed in this tournament. In this, you're going to play a few regular season games based on how that goes. You go to the quarterfinals or not. And the Knicks won it. Now, I found it really interesting to see what everyone would say about it. But I want to start with Mike Brown.
Okay.
Because prior to the game, Mike was talking about the value of a tournament like this. And he went on and on about how during the course of a regular season, he works really hard to reinforce to players how important games are. And he would actually make it like 5-game stretches and say, all right, these 5 games matter, man. Let's go 4-1. How he would challenge his players to keep the regular season interesting. And what he said was this tournament really makes it easy because I don't have to create anything. There's something here for the players to be challenged by. So Mike did a whole diatribe about the value of that. And at the end of his diatribe, he said this.
So there's a lot of positives about it, but the most positive is being able to hang a banner up in MSG, the most iconic arena in the league.
So Mike Brown left us all last night thinking, they're going to hang a banner.
Definitely.
Josh Hart was asked after the game, are you guys going to hang a banner?
Banner or no banner?
I don't know. I'll let y'all decide that. Someone's going to be mad at whatever we do. I'll let them figure that one out.
So that was Josh punting the question.
It's a great answer, though. Because I think that point, if somebody's going to be mad no matter what we do, is the perfect answer.
He's right. Now, let's take it up a notch. The banner is one thing. What about a parade, Jalen Brunson? Is there going to be a parade in New York City?
Jalen, what does this championship mean to the city of New York? And if they are going to have a parade, what's your notes for them?
I don't think we're having a parade.
Again, a great answer. And just real quickly, this part was embarrassing for Adam Silver. Because the Knicks are, and these players are handling this the right way. They accomplished something. They won something. But sending a pool of reporters from overseas as you try to expand and make the game globally, these global reporters come here to Vegas and go, okay, this is a big deal. The NBA is playing for this. And they're asking questions. And you hear the American reporters beyond laughing at the idea you would ask that question. Could you imagine going back to your like editor in France and saying, I asked about the parade. They laughed at me.
Well, it got played on Evan and Tiki. I found it interesting. I think that, and I remember yesterday when we were talking about this, my answer was, if you're going to put a banner up, make it a part of the Atlantic Division title banners.
Yeah.
Like have one banner to honor what I like to call minor accomplishments, such as winning a division nobody cares about. Or winning an in-season tournament, just put it on one banner, the way the Mets do with wild cards and division titles. According to Sham Sharnia and Ian Begley, the New York Knicks have decided to not hang a banner, and they will find other ways to celebrate this accomplishment.
Including Friday night, they're going to do something pregame.
Well, the other thing that they're going to do, because I got the email spammed to me as a season ticket holder, is they're selling T-shirts and hats.
Well, anytime you can make that merch money. And the hats and T-shirts look cool.
They do look good. Would you wear it, Tommy?
I do like the hat. No, I would not wear it.
I'm going to tell you right now. Can I give you a piece of advice? I think that hat and shirt, if this team ultimately wins the championship next couple of years, ages well and becomes like a cool throwback thing to wear. So
it,
if you
depends,
buy one now and you throw it
correct.
Away.
It depends on where the season goes.
Absolutely.
Because the first two cup winners lost in the first round, the LA Lakers and the Indiana Pacers. If somehow that befell the New York Knicks and they got knocked out in the first round, people will burn the NBA cup shirts. Like, they're going to want nothing to do with it.
Sure.
If you get to the finals, I'm not even saying win a championship. Like, you get to the finals and lose a hard-fought series to the Oklahoma City Thunder, I think you'd look back on it fondly. So I think it's one of those scenarios where what happens next will help define your view on wearing NBA cup merch.
And shouldn't it also define your view on the banner period? If the Knicks won the NBA finals this year,
I'd put it up. I agree with you.
Right. Next year on opening night, I think you hang both. Because then how are you going to laugh at it? Oh, you're going to laugh at it? We won the finals too.
So, Tommy, I was getting it for you. Because, again, it was spam to my email from the New York Knicks. Do you not want me to purchase shirts and hats?
Purchase it for me. I will not put it on my head or my body until the Knicks win a title. Title, not a finals appearance. They have to win the championship, and then I will wear it proudly.
We'll get to your calls, and coming up in 10 short minutes, you'll hear how Stan Van Gundy embarrassed himself at the end of the game last night. Let us kick it off with Sean in Flushing. What's up, Sean?
Gentlemen, what's up? Honored to be the first call of the day. And I just, Evan, I need some help, man, because I'm just frustrated with all the stupidity that I'm hearing from so many, like, you know, a lot of them knowledgeable fans. I love Joe. I've been with Joe since the beginning. You know, it's this whole rhetoric that the NBA Cup is a waste of time. It's a joke. It's
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start. Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
An abomination. It just doesn't make sense to me, because yesterday was a great, great game for so many reasons. And I'll tell you one. Every other NBA team watched that game from home because they all competed to try to make that money.
Right.
So the Knicks made a point to pretty much everybody, and they made a point against a very, very talented up-and-coming Spurs team that we know are going to be watching for a long time, and they're going to be striving for that, for, you know, getting that goal of winning a championship forever. So that the rhetoric from these fans, from this, you know, I don't want to say so-called fans, because a lot of them, my friends, feel the same way. They're embarrassed by the win. It, to me, it's a build-up for the playoffs. It really kind of, you know, it the temperament of the team changes for when you're competing.
But Sean, I think most of the criticism, like what Joe said to us a few days ago, was around the celebration and the batter.
Right.
And I think what we need to do, if we're going to be fair and not just bust each other's balls, which we can do also,
sure,
is to ask yourself, what's the negative from last night? And because everyone got out of it healthy, there is no negative. There's only positives.
Yeah.
They had an impressive, I like to call it road win, because it wasn't at Madison Square Garden, and I hate to be a jerk, but there were more Spurs fans there than Knicks fans there.
Despite what Mike Brown said on the court after the game.
Despite what Mike Brown said. And they won a good basketball game against a really good, young, talented team. Now, the thing I wonder about that Sean threw out there, and none of us can prove this, in April, in May, when they're playing a hard-fought postseason series against the Pistons, or you name the team, is their experience from December 16th going to matter? Probably not. It's probably like any other regular season game against a good opponent.
Help the Pacers in that first year make those finals. Suddenly they went a little run, knocked the Knicks out.
That was a year later, and no, I don't think it had anything to do with it.
No, hold on. The Pacers lost to the Lakers in year one.
Right, oh, I'm sorry. So they lost in the Cup Finals.
Nobody saw that run coming.
And then went on a deep run and got to the Eastern Conference Finals. Are you saying that was equated?
You don't remember we talked about that on this show?
No, you talked about that.
Yeah, I thought it gave him a little seasoning. So they complained a big game.
Tiki and I chuckled at you when you said that.
Well, was I wrong now?
I don't know.
No, real quickly, the one thing I want to get to that Sean said I'm curious about, he brought up they did this in front of every NBA player at home watching. Do you think that was the case with NBA players last night?
I think a lot of them do. I think basketball players are hoopheads, and they watch basketball. Like, Kevin Durant's a great example of it. Like, he just watches everything. So I don't know if it was every single NBA player.
I'm curious to know and we'll never know, it's the percentage. I mean, Amazon Prime, you got a rare night off for the holidays. You're watching the Knicks and Spurs list. I don't know you are.
I think basketball players like to watch basketball.
Okay.
And it was a standalone game, and it's two really talented teams. I mean, it wasn't like, so far with this NBA Cup, like, could you imagine if the NBA Cup Finals coincidentally turned into Brooklyn against Portland? Like, just two bad teams that got lucky? That's not what happened. Like, the Knicks are the heavy favorites in the East, in my opinion.
True.
And the Spurs, whether they get there this year or not, unlikely, but they're going to get there in the next half decade. Like, they are an emerging young powerhouse. Jeremy's on Long Island. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, how you doing, Evan? Love the show. Congrats to Tommy on the new show as well. And Mirage, sorry, he's still pushing buttons. Anyway, I'm just joking. But, no, I just wanted to comment on you were saying earlier that the East is, like, no good this year, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think it's very mid. I think it's mid. I think there are good teams. I don't think there are great teams.
Detroit specifically.
Yes, I think they're flawed.
Detroit is 5-0 versus the West this year.
Big deal.
I can even say that.
Big deal. Well, what have they done against the Knicks so far? They haven't played the Knicks yet.
Yeah, and Boston, by the way, who lost Tatum, actually beat the Knicks.
Who cares?
So we should have...
But does that prove anything? Because my view on Detroit is I give them credit for their record. Like, I can't deny that. Cade Cunningham is an emerging superstar. No doubt about that. I look at the rest of the roster, and, like, Duncan Robinson's going to scare me in a postseason series. Tobias Harris is going to scare me in a postseason series. Isaiah Stewart maybe punching somebody in the face is going to scare me. And they're a really good defensive team.
They are.
Like, they're a good team. I don't want to act like I think the Pistons stink. They just don't scare me. I think the Knicks are more talented. And I think as tough as Detroit is defensively, and we'll get to see it when they finally play each other in the regular season, I think the dynamo of this Knick offense, I don't think the Pistons are going to be able to slow them down that much, quite frankly. And I also think in a lot of ways, after Cade Cunningham, who again is an emerging star, there's no one on that team that I'm afraid of beating me.
Well, let's see.
So I just, it's not that they suck. It's that I don't buy their record and say, wow, they're 21-5. They're a powerhouse. They're a nice, good little basketball team. And I think they need another lesson before they get to the next level. Like last year, their lesson was losing to the Knicks in the first round. I don't know if they're ready to take the jump and knock the Knicks off and get to an NBA Finals. That's just me.
Look, I know Seattle.
And one last thing. Yeah. I don't trust J.B. Bickerstaff in a big spot.
That's fine, too. But I was going to say, I understand that Siakam had championship pedigree and Halliburton was a good player, although he had some of those games where he just didn't score. I mean, who really felt that way about the Pacers the last couple
I think
of years?
The Pacers played a brand of basketball that was very difficult for the Knicks to match up on. Like, I thought that their pace, no pun intended, made it a real challenge for them. I don't see that with Detroit.
Okay.
And I think what you're doing, and I respect it, is you're holding out hope as a hater. And trust me, I'd love to hold out hope. I'm just being honest with what I think about this basketball team. They're a good little team. They are not a major threat to the New York Knicks. And if you want to save that audio and use it against me, cool. I'm not scared.
I would not be scared if I was a Knicks fan. I don't think they're a major threat. Is there slightly like I'm trying to find an outfit? Of course there is.
You're searching for a team. Good luck.
But Evan, I have to be real about something. As much as I mocked this whole cup thing last night, a funny thing happened in the postgame.
What's that?
When the confetti falls and the stupid looking trophy gets held up, you got the first thought of, okay, now I can envision this. And that's scary to me. As a guy that's like the Knicks.
You saw the confetti fall.
Well, because don't we always play that game with our teams? Can you actually see this team, you know, having a dog pile at the end? Even if it was kind of silly and it was in Las Vegas and the confetti and it's the regular season, you saw that group of guys with t-shirts and hats and confetti falling. And for the first time I saw it and said, oh, now that I've seen this, I can see it.
I get
and
you.
And that's scary a little bit if you don't like
that. I get you.
My take was it was cruel. Like, I'm watching my basketball team with confetti flying. They're wearing t-shirts and hats, and it's not for the NBA title. So it was a little bit of that cruel feeling, but it makes you want it even more, but you're seeing them watch. It was almost like a simulation.
It felt like a video game.
Remember when the Mets did that in spring training, and they pretended like they won? That's what it felt like, or a video game.
Or Aaron Rodgers at the Taylor Swift concert, making believe the Jets are winning the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Jeez.
Let's go to Mike in New Rochelle. What's up, Mike?
How are we doing, gentlemen? How's everything going this afternoon?
Excellent. What's up?
This is why I keep telling everybody since last year, okay, do not make them, not since last year, but since the beginning of the year, do not make the Carmelo 2.0 trade, all right? Mm-hmm. They have to keep this team together. This team actually is well-built compared to teams since Riley left, you know? And if we could add on, we could add on. Like you said, in the East, I'm not really scared of anybody except the team with the best coach, which is Indiana. That team, that guy can
But the thing about Indiana is I think this season at least you're not going to have to worry about them.
Yeah.
I think Miami is an interesting threat. They're 14-12. That's what doesn't scare you. But what scares you is if the Knicks bow out on a Giannis pursuit, and we'll address your point in a minute about why they should, the Miami Heat are a major threat. And so putting Giannis on that team with Bam and Andrew Wiggins, assuming he's still there after a trade, and Eric Spoelstra is one of the best coaches in the world, I think they would then emerge as a new threat in the East. As far as the Knicks pursuing Giannis, I kind of agree with you. Like, the more I watch the Knicks, the more I say to myself, you know what? Now sometimes you just have to let things happen naturally. I would almost let the Giannis sweepstakes happen naturally. Let me compete for a championship this year with my team. Let me bank on the fact that the Bucks aren't going to trade Giannis. Let me see where this season goes. If I flame out earlier than I think, we'll reevaluate. If I lose in the NBA Finals, I'll reevaluate. And if Giannis happens to get traded prior to the NBA trade deadline, I almost have to live with it. Because don't you at least want to see what this roster can do in this Eastern Conference without a boarding ship early?
You do, and I agree with you, but if you bow out of Giannis and he goes to Miami and he's a thorn in your side, and then we get to the playoffs and there's Cat and Brunson struggling to play defense in a seven-game series again, and you look back and there's no Giannis next year and next summer to figure out how to make this team better, you're going to look back and regret it.
I don't know if I'll regret it because I think I need to see. I think I need to find out.
But like, what if you see and these guys are playing crappy defense, you're out in the second round?
Well,
And Giannis is already off the board. Then what are you doing this summer?
Look, I think there's two things here. I've made it very clear I don't think a trade is realistic in the middle of the season anyway with this team.
I would
rather wait till the offseason. I've got more chips that I can send away for assets. And if he gets traded before then, he gets traded before then. I just think blowing it up, which you're going to have to do to make a trade like that, makes sense for a lot of teams. I don't think it makes sense for a team that, in my opinion, should be the heavy favorites to come out of the East. And I don't use that word lightly. I think they're the heavy favorites to come out of the East. I don't care what the odds say. In the Evan Roberts odds, they are far and away, in my opinion, between being battle-tested, between the players on their roster, between everything. I think they're far and away the best team in the Eastern Conference. Why now? I'd be afraid of that.
It's a tough spot to be in because, in theory, you're trading for him also to block him from going somewhere else.
Like, no, you can't do that, bro.
Okay, but Evan,
you can't do that.
If Giannis goes to the Thunder, we have a Dodger situation on our hands.
They're not, look, we've talked about how they can if they want. They're not going to do it. They're not doing that.
Okay. We'll see. They could, though.
They could. They could do whatever they want.
They absolutely have the capital to get him.
They could do whatever they want.
I know, but that's my point, is that you could allow Giannis to go to the Thunder. I don't want to break things up, but you run the risk of OKC building a Warrior team with Durant now added to Curry and Draymond and Clay.
I'm going to say something that's half joking, but if you really give it thought, you'll know it does make a lot of sense. Why trade for Giannis when you could trade for Michael Porter Jr.? Like, I just don't understand.
Why would I want to do that?
You beat me to the joke?
I meant the Thunder, not you.
Oh, got it.
I meant the Thunder.
Oh, yeah, to help your team.
Not to help my team, to help their team.
This is where me and Evan are sitting.
The Nets still in the league.
He went for one Nets joke, and my next line was going to be, if you're not going to do it for Giannis, would you do it for James Harden?
By the way, in your case, Tommy, I understand because I think you were very excited. Did you hear the final call of the game and at least have it in your head where you heard the whole call?
I did, yes.
Okay. Sean, when the Knicks won, did you hear the entire call?
Yeah, I think I texted our group chat about this.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You did. Specifically about Stan Van Gundy embarrassing himself.
So then you already know. For the audience out there, you're about to hear the final call of the NBA Cup game. And maybe you heard it and it just didn't register in your mind. But Ian Eagle, of course, has a great call. And then Stan Van Gundy immediately wants to credit the MVP of the tournament. And we could play at home. Who is the MVP of the tournament? Is it Jalen Brunson? The logical answer. Is he going to give credit to maybe someone a little bit below the radar, mm-hmm. like Tyler Kolek,
right.
or Mitchell Robinson, who was a beast on the glass,
right.
or OG, or even Mike Brown? It could have been anybody. But I want you to hear the call and hear how Stan Van Gundy freaking embarrassed himself by picking none of those people as the MVP of the tournament.
Look at the New York Knicks are NBA Cup champions.
Tell me it don't mean something, Coach. Look at this.
This is incredible. You know who the true MVP is, Ian? Adam Silver and the NBA office for the coming up with this idea of the NBA Cup.
The collision to the cup belongs to New York.
I mean, Stan, are we serious?
Come back to us, Stan, please.
If you have to reinforce why an idea is so amazing as the culmination of the idea is occurring, doesn't that prove to you that the idea is not that amazing?
That is a moment in the post-game show you bring up, hey, you know what, in the end, give Adam Silver credit. In the final call, he's the MVP of this? What? Come on. What?
That diminutive, first of all, it's 3 years old now, Stan. We don't have to pimp it out like it's the first time ever. But you're going to go put Adam Silver above everybody else?
The game still didn't mean anything. Can we?
You know who the true MVP is? Adam Silver.
Can the game count for something before we finally crown Adam Silver for this?
I mean, is he looking for a bonus or something? Was that an ass-kiss moment?
Yeah.
Or kiss-ass moment? Which goes first, ass or kiss?
Kiss-ass moment.
Thank you. Is that a kiss-ass moment by Stan?
Yes. It's, listen, Adam, I'm halfway as a decent broadcast. You got a 15 TV package. I'm going to say this. Make sure I'm always taken care of here if Prime gets rid of me. Put me a peacock.
It's almost like the line that we played the other day from Stan. He was afraid was going to get him fired.
Oh.
So we tried to make up for it.
Yeah, it's a total make good. I mean, Stan has one or two of those every game where Ian has to be like tiptoe around it because he's like knocking like the court or something. So right. I think that was his way of being like, here you go, Adam. My bad. For all the stuff I said throughout the
story. For those that are not aware, a few days ago, Stan said he didn't like the nickname Alien for Victor Wembanyama because, in his words, quote, we deport those. So
it's been a rough week for Stan.
So Stan may have said to himself, let me get on Silver's good side right now.
It's incredible. I can't fathom Stan Van Gundy thinking that legitimately. I think there may be only two people in America that walked away last night thinking Adam Silver's awesome. Adam Silver and Stan Van Gundy. Like, who else walked away last night going, that's awesome?
Well, think about why Stan said that, because it was high-level basketball in the semis and the finals. But that's the whole sort of point of doing this tournament, is get the guys to play this kind of basketball.
Right. That's why we were mesmerized watching it. We're like, well, look at this. Wembanyama looks awesome tonight.
So he's kind of feeding into the wrong narrative here.
Oh, God. That was rough.
Let's say good afternoon to Lou in Brooklyn. What's up, Lou?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just a couple of points on the Knicks. First, I have to say about this tournament thing. I'm 51. It's been Knicks fan my whole life. So as this tournament thing, if it was there was no tournament, this Knicks first game would be a normal Tuesday night in the NBA. I don't look at it as this was like a little test. This is the first test.
Right.
This is the first pressure game this team played, and they came out on top. Do I celebrate it? Do I think it means anything when the playoffs start? No. But I just think it's a little test, got a little pressure on them, and they answered the call, step one, pass test. But my point is about Mitchell Robinson. This team is so different when Mitch is healthy and playing, because Dick is a beast on the offensive boards.
Yep.
And he creates so many second-chance shots for this team, and his defense, he really, like, to me, I don't mind you sit him out games in regular season, give him as much a load management as you want. You need him for the playoffs.
No doubt.
He's outside of Brunson. And, you know, Towns, he might be the next most important person on the team because of the offensive rebound and the defense he plays. Mitch is undervalued. And like I said, if he wants to miss 30 games in the regular season, so be it.
No, you're spot on. And all you have to do is watch him in the playoffs last year to know that. But his offensive rebounding this year, like per 100 possessions, he's averaging 12.6 offensive rebounds per 100 possessions. That is like insanity. Last night he had 10 offensive rebounds. And you're right. You think about the second chance points he creates, and then he'll break your will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what should not be forgotten in what he did last night with 10 is that the Spurs are the best defensive rebounding team in the league.
Yeah, he had them
all. So it's not like he did it against the a junior high team. He did it against the Spurs.
Nets.
Right. He did it against the best of the best in that area. So look, it's not hyperbole to talk about the incredible value Mitchell Robinson has. But our last caller said, I don't mind sitting him in regular season games to make sure he's ready for the postseason. Last night wasn't even a regular season game.
It was not as important as a regular season game.
It wasn't. That was the one negative that I think the league needs to at least figure out. They've got something with this tournament to a degree, but they got to figure out two things. They got to figure out how they make that last game matter. And they got to figure out putting it into a place where people are going to care, because it did not vibe in Las Vegas. And reports came out last night and this morning that they did not sell out and they were giving away free seats. Seats fillers in Las Vegas. Now, that doesn't mean the world wasn't interested, because I think the TV rating will be nice.
Yeah.
But I think in Las Vegas, nobody cared.
Well, once you get to Las Vegas, even if you went for the tournament and you land in Las Vegas, is that where you're thinking you're going?
But even if you are going, think about the way it was set up. It was a Saturday and a Tuesday. So I ask anyone out there, any diehard Knicks fan who would have put together maybe some kind of trip, a Sunday to a Tuesday?
Well, this is the...
Doesn't work very well.
This is the other issue, though.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
they did that to avoid the NFL, which is smart.
Mm-hmm.
How about just avoid the NFL season to begin with? Play it in the immediacy of the Super Bowl after.
That's what I would do, too. When I first heard the idea of a mid-season tournament, I thought mid-season meant middle of the season. But obviously, they do it very early in the season.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, how about playing it where you have an Eastern Conference team and a Western Conference team every year? I'm serious. And the winner gets home court advantage in the NBA Finals.
Oh, so like the baseball All-Star game
It just came to me, because then you get the whole league caring about it.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of different variations of making this last game matter besides debating amongst fans if there should be a banner or not.
Yeah.
Let's go to Kendrick in Suffern. What's up, Kendrick?
Gentlemen, as a coalition member here, Evan, I had to call in today and congratulate the Knicks fans. I do have a brief statement from the coalition, if you would.
Of course.
You know, this weekend we were able to watch the passing of a torch, or the passing of the guard, as some would say, with Cena to Gunther. And so we watched last night with a new appreciation how special it is to witness the passing of a guard like Tyler Kolek, who on the biggest stage showed up, because even the Knicks haters have to admit last night's ball movement and their offense looked special, and it looked like it could do damage in the real playoffs. Unlike the old guard, Tib, who would run out his veterans that he trusted. But in terms of the banner, we at the coalition have a statement. I hope James Dolan is listening. For the Knicks to consider thumbing their noses or behinds at accomplishments, but renaming cities, streets, after playoff series, we would hope that you can raise the banner as you were raising street signs for something meaningless like a playoff series. So for those of you who think we are the enemy, the Knicks are their own worst enemies, because after last night, if they are not going to acknowledge what they earned, they are thumbing their nose at everybody and saying that they are better than who? The Lakers, the Bucks, who raised their banner? So I would implore Mr. Dolan, who was born and raised a banner himself, just ask Charles Oakley, that he raise a banner in the Garden, because they are not better or bigger than the NBA. And if they do not, I do have a suggestion, Evan, because you guys were running through suggestions the other day. And I'm being serious here. I would put the banner in the Hall of Fame and write the names of the players on the teams that win the banner, because I think outside of the money, some of these guys, like, jokes aside, Tyler Kolek had a moment last night. And for him, I don't know where his career is going to go. But if you win the cup, to have your name somewhere in the Hall of Fame, I know it's not the NBA, but the Basketball Hall of Fame, I think that would add a little value to it, because watching these games, you know, after Saturday night main event, you had the Thunder and the Spurs. That game was awesome.
Yeah.
These guys are playing at a high level, and they wanted to win for more than just the money. So jokes aside, if they're not going to raise the banner and disrespect the cup and the league this way, then put it somewhere neutral where all these guys can get recognition for longer than just a season.
All right, a couple of things. First of all, the decision to not raise a banner had to have come from James Dolan. Let's just call it like it is. And I made this comment to you yesterday when we were talking about how, hey, I confirmed it's a team decision, because I wasn't sure. I was under the impression for a while like it's required to put a banner up. And I learned yesterday from the league, it is completely up to the team. And when we talked about it, I said I could see James Dolan saying no.
Yeah.
And I think this decision clearly came from James Dolan when we have Mike Brown before the game talking about a banner going up.
I'm assuming Mike Brown also maybe was not aware that it's an option either when he said
maybe,
that too.
Yeah, and look, that's probably not his focus. I mean, his focus is coaching the game.
And remember, the Lakers and Bucks had won titles with some of those core members when they put those banners.
That's fine, but here's the thing. This is the ultimate, you're going to kill the Knicks for no matter what they do. I mean, seriously. Because I got to be honest with you, for the last 3 years since this tournament started, I've talked to Tommy about, oh my God, if you win, you're going to put a banner up. I'm going to mock it. Badingo's going to freak out. Now that you guys have decided not to, we can't go the other way and say they're thumbing their nose at the league. They think they're better than everybody, because the people saying that, like Kendrick, are the same people that would be mocking a banner if it went up. We got to be fair. We have to at least try. Some people don't even try, Sean Morash, at being fair.
I'm being fair.
Okay. I'm trying to be fair.
Evan.
We cannot kill them for not putting a banner up when the same people are going to rip them for putting a banner up.
As anybody who doesn't like the Knicks, this is the most disappointing news to come out of this cup, is that the Knicks have handled this the absolute perfect right way. There's nothing you could criticize the Knicks for.
Well, did you hear Kendrick? They're thumbing their nose at the end.
Well, he kept using the thumb joke for something, you know, we haven't gotten to yet.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, yes. What he's referring to is Josh Hart put his thumb near the, or
the turkeys?
Yeah. Of Jalen Brunson.
Your booty.
Like, it was a weird kind of guy thing where Josh
pinched
him, or maybe he didn't even pinch him. Maybe he just, you know.
No, he shut. Me and my friends do it all the time to each other.
Is there a term for it?
Weird.
I don't think it's weird. I mean, well,
you don't think it's weird? What friends I'm friends with you. We've known each other for 15 years.
No, like
my thumb has never came anywhere near your tuchus and vice versa. So I don't think that we do that as friends.
Me and like
Tushy.
My high school buddies, like, I don't know. Like,
high school buddies.
If we see each other, there's always like a little grab on somebody's, you know, behind.
Sexy midnight fantasy.
Here's what I don't understand. Uh-huh. And maybe I'm the weird one. Because I did play high school baseball, not well, but I played it. I was mostly a bench player and kept score and gave people, you know, geeky baseball advice. But we would always smack each other's tuchuses after something happened.
Yeah.
And I chose not to really do it. I thought it was weird. Like, I don't really want to touch your butt. You don't want to touch my butt.
Well, it's camaraderie.
But that's accepted. That's camaraderie. Yeah. That's a part of sports. You see it on a baseball field all the time.
Yeah.
Yet what Josh did to Jalen is considered not?
No, it's fun.
What the hell's the difference?
You guys have never done that to a friend?
No.
You've never done like a little tickle on their butt and make them go, oh! And you
done
know?
It to my wife, not a friend.
Oh, maybe we're the weird ones.
Did you just say your wife and her friend?
No, I wish. I said, I've done it to my wife, not my friend.
Oh, I thought you said my wife and her friend.
Wow. Sexy midnight fantasy.
I was like, all right there, Tommy. Yeah. So I forget what the point was. Something about Jalen Brunson.
I don't know.
That 365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.